Almost without notice on Sunday, a Chinese-owned cargo ship slipped through the Strait of Hormuz, a global shipping choke point of the Iran war. For our Beijing correspondent, Ann Scott Tyson, its passage was a metaphor for China's patient approach to Iran. Beijing's hands-off posture, she writes, illustrates its pragmatic, flexible approach to foreign policy, designed to diversify its partnerships and maximize its opportunities globally while avoiding binding commitments. In another body of water, Boston Harbor, we found a success story, the return of shell fishing after a century. We detail the work that went into cleaning up the harbor and what it means for coastal communities. It's Thursday, March 26th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Krista Case Bryant. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Democrats flipped a Florida statehouse seat. Democrat Emily Gregory won the seat in Palm Beach, Florida, and will now represent an area that includes President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. Democrats also won a state Senate contest in Tampa, extending a string of state election victories this past year. While these wins won't change party control in Tallahassee, Democrats are celebrating victory in a district that elected its previous GOP representative by 19 points and Mr. Trump by double digits in 2024. Mr. Trump endorsed the Republican candidate, voting by mail despite his efforts to end the practice nationally. NASA is planning to build a base on the moon. The agency is planning to build a permanent structure on the lunar surface over the next decade, with a three-phase plan that could cost $30 billion, NASA officials said on Tuesday. The announcement comes as the agency is accelerating the Artemis program, an effort to land humans on the moon for the first time in 50 years. Artemis II, which is scheduled to launch in early April, aims to send humans around the moon and back. Also, Philly fed TSA workers a giant cheesesteak sub. More than 100 airport workers and volunteers crafted the Philadelphia specialty, actually a line of them, at an airport terminal. The subs, with about 1,000 total pounds of meat and cheese, were handed out to airport staff, the Philadelphia Inquirer reported, including to TSA workers whose paychecks had been curtailed by a partial shutdown at the Department of Homeland Security. A Guinness World Record official confirmed the rolls were touching. That made this sandwich line's end-to-end length, 1,200 feet, a world record, if shorter than some of the lines at security. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. Keeping quiet about foiled plots that threaten American safety could prevent unnecessary worry, or it could make the public more vulnerable. Patrick Johnson reports from Savannah, Georgia, for The Monitor. China has long been an economic lifeline for Iran, but Beijing's muted response to the war reveals a degree of disillusionment with its Middle East partner, highlighting China's pragmatic, self-interested approach to foreign relations. Ann Scott Tyson reports from Beijing for The Monitor. The Kremlin has had a testy relationship with online messaging services in recent years. Now, it seems to be moving to shut them out of Russia completely in favor of one approved super app, potentially upending the online lives of many Russians. Fred Weir reports from Moscow for The Monitor. Opening day in baseball heralds the arrival of spring as surely as the northern migration of geese. At a time when the United States is taking a harder stance against illegal immigration, the national pastime, with its rosters of great players from a diversity of nations, showcases the value of sport in uniting humanity in the common pursuit of teamwork and excellence. Ken Makin writes for The Monitor. Boston is joining the list of cities that are achieving results after sustained harbor cleanup efforts. Some towns will soon see the return of recreational shell fishing, a New England tradition. Cameron Pugh, and Melanie Stetson Freeman report from Boston for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on defending and demanding democracy. This month, three democracy-tracking organizations released analyses of the state of political, press, and personal freedoms around the world. The title of one report, The Growing Shadow of Autocracy, sums up a shared view about backsliding on all these fronts. Yet the data and perspectives also reveal progress, especially in the enduring and widespread appeal of democratic ideals and values. Looking back at 2025, the Sweden-based Variety of Democracies Institute, known as VDEM, counts 44 countries worldwide that it says are autocratizing, including the United States. In particular for the U.S., VDEM cites recent attacks on the press, academia, civil liberties, and dissenting voices. On the other hand, the Dartmouth College-based Bright Line Watch finds that declining views of American democracy from earlier in 2025 have largely stabilized, and public opinion now shows mild optimism. The smooth rollout of state elections last November, as well as court rulings on immigration and tariff issues, appears to have reaffirmed for Americans that their system of checks and balances still works. Speaking on NPR, Bright Line Watch co-founder John Kerry pointed to the key role of government institutions that serve as referees. Such institutions can help stem a drift to autocracy in countries that Washington-based watchdog Freedom House defines as only partly free. The organization annually tracks 25 indicators of political rights and civil liberties, such as electoral processes and pluralism, freedom of expression, and rule of law. In 2025, these metrics deteriorated in 54 countries. However, they trended upward in 35 others. Three examples are Bolivia, Fiji, and Malawi, among the world's poorer or smaller nations. They each moved from partly free to free status. They did this through fair elections and the peaceful transfer of power, as well as steps to root out corruption and boost transparency and judicial independence. Gabon and Syria, both in the not-free category, saw substantial improvement in scores as they began to loosen restrictions on basic rights after decades of authoritarian rule. Freedom House makes a point of noting that more than 85% of the countries rated as free in 2005 still remain so, two decades later. As the organization's CEO, Jamie Fly, and research director, Yana Gorovskaya, wrote in the Washington Post, as more than 50 years' worth of data shows, the demand for freedom is universal and unwavering. Those who live under repression, they stated, require the sustained support of those of us who enjoy the blessings of liberty. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how setting our heart to understand that the kingdom of heaven is right here brings tangible blessings. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas and Tim Malone.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.